Welcome to the O Woman Podcast, where we discuss, so many things related to women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships, to our orgasms, to our children, and our ovaries. And we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big, open welcome to you. Thanks for joining me for the show today. This is episode 91 of the O Woman Podcast. And today we're going to talk about a pretty raunchy topic. We're going to talk about facials, the dirty kind. Hopefully you know what I mean by this before we go into the topic, or you're going to be really shocked. Definitely not talking about going and getting a facial at a salon, having a lotion on your face. That's not what I'm talking about here. And really today, I'm kind of reviewing an article that one of my best friends turned me on to. I thought it was really fantastically written. It's really entertaining. I recommend you read it. So I'm really pretty much just going over what the author of the article talks about, because it's a stance that I hadn't really thought about until today, because I've never had a facial. You'll see what I'm talking about in a minute. Nor do I really have the desire to have one. So it's really fun to give someone else's perspective, especially because she's a really funny writer. So the website that this article is on is exojane.com, and the author is just listed as Emily. She doesn't have a last name. She's just listed as Emily, and when you first go to the article, you'll see it's a picture of, I assume, the author leaning forward with a, you know, like a facial, like lotion kind of on her face, and the caption says, nope, not this kind. So what we're talking about here is facials as in semen on your face. I had heard of this before, but I hadn't thought that much about it, just because it's not something that I have thought to try in my own sex life. But the reason my friend thought I should read it, well, is of course because I do this podcast, but also because we were talking about kind of various sexual interests that were different from the norm, quote unquote, whatever that is. And so that we kind of stumbled upon this topic. So first of all, she starts off kind of the article talking about how, kind of trying to point out how a lot of people think that facials are a degrading thing. Particularly a lot of women's sentiment, especially people she talked to, thought, oh, it's just so degrading. And so she wanted to kind of dispel that thought to start. And she wanted to say that she doesn't feel like it's degrading. And she doesn't think that someone doing it to her is a degrading act, is innately degrading. And one of the reasons why she talks about this is she says that to her, sex is when it's well done. This is how, kind of what she says. When sex is well done, it's a boundaryless experience and it's safe. And you can try all these crazy things out with your partner because you feel safe with them. For example, you can do fisting, or you can do sibling role play, things that I don't think she's saying she does necessarily, but examples of things that you just wouldn't necessarily think of off the top of your head. But they're totally doable and something you might entertain doing because you're in such a safe space where there's not judgment. You really care about your partner cares about you, and you know it's safe. So in the case where that is, she appreciates facials. Actually, she loves them. She says almost all the time her sexual interactions end with splooge on her face, which you have to just read the way she writes it. It's super hilarious. I'll quote a couple of the things she says later. One of the most impressive things that she says about particularly facials, but just any sexual experience that she desires to have, that she feels like she's able to make the decision, it's her choice, she's free to do what she wants. She says, my orgasms are a politics-free zone. And I think that's why this article is so interesting to me and so great, because that is true. Whatever your sexual fantasies are, if you're by yourself or if you're in a relationship, you're with a person, and you both feel comfortable and safe and that you're taking care of each other, it's a politics-free zone. Role play whatever you want to do. Imagine whatever you want to imagine. And I kind of touched on, just sort of, on the concept of your sexual fantasies being kind of unexpected and bizarre when I talked about having orgasms in your sleep, how sometimes your dreams can be, totally weird and maybe sketch you out when you're awake and you're having an orgasm. It's because sex is such an interesting animal layer of our psyches and of our lives. And so some of the motivations that we have to do things aren't what you would necessarily expect from your wakeful self. I mean, you're awake when you're having sex, but I mean your sort of socialized human self. So there's a different kind of layer to yourself when you're really sexually aroused or you're in a sexually safe place. Now, of course, any decisions that you make in that kind of a state have to be something that is agreed upon between two consenting adults, or three, or four consenting adults, whatever your plan is, or yourself, you know, but of course you're going to agree if, you know, you're doing something just with yourself. So I really liked how she said my orgasms are a politics-free zone, because that takes away some of the shame that some people feel about whatever fantasy they might have that's not socially acceptable. And she even touches on this in the article. She says, I am a feminist, but I felt like maybe I shouldn't write this article because people would think she's not a feminist because she likes this. And she was thinking, wait a minute, that's exactly why I am a feminist. I'm allowed to make the decision that I want to make. Isn't that what feminism is all about? It's not about following a prescribed set of rules about what a good feminist is. It's about literally being who you want to be, but not hurting anybody else in the process. So she also goes on to explain why she likes facials. And her description is really graphic, but really nice to read because it gives you a little bit of a window into why she does. Just kind of a quick overview. She says she likes the waiting, the looking up at the guy and looking up at his crotch and his face and the feeling of expectation. And to her, she said this makes her feel not degraded, of course, but really powerful, really sexy, that she is kind of causing this event to happen, that she feels really in charge and really powerful. And she goes on to say that facials are only degrading with your consent, just like many other sex acts. So if you're choosing to do it, it's only degrading if you're letting it be degrading. If you feel that it is and you agree to do it anyway, this is where talking about what you want, what you're okay with is really important. Because if you find yourself in a sexual situation where you're not comfortable with a facial, but your partner's really into it, you have the right to say, I don't like this. But you also have the right to say, oh, I really like this. Can we do this? Or continue what you're doing. I'm really enjoying this. That kind of thing. So it's only degrading when you feel that it's degrading. If you like it, do it. There's not some sort of universal rule about what is or is not degrading in your orgasm space. Like she's saying, it's a politics-free zone. Make the decisions that you and your partner want to make, you know, be safe. But beyond that, it's your free zone. Just like in your house, you can relax, wear no clothes, wear some clothes, wear shoes, no shoes. It's the same kind of decision making as long as you're being safe. And maybe even just if you have a safe word, I think I talked about that one time. Ours is either rutabaga or rhubarb. I can't remember which. Just in case something goes way too far, you can snap out of the role playing or whatever you're doing to make sure that both of you are still okay with what's happening. So she says that just like other sex acts, facials are only degrading if you let it be degrading. Any sex act or any actual act, actually, when you think about it in life, can be considered degrading to you if it feels that way. So go with what you're feeling. One thing she says that I thought was really clever is that you decide that. It's only you that decides what's degrading to you. Feminism can't decide that for you. You're not supposed to be following a prescribed set of ideas about what a woman should want or should be. You're doing what you feel like you should do. And even if you're not a woman, any person should do what they want to do if it's safe with the other person. Another thing that she kind of challenges in the concept of why facials are sort of like gross or degrading is that a lot of people think, oh, semen is kind of like innately dirty or like the act is innately violent or something. And she says, I don't think that semen is a dirty thing. To me, it turns me on. It's great. It's not like this gross, disgusting thing I'm trying to avoid. Clearly, if she wants it on her face, she's not trying to avoid it. And she doesn't think that the act, like, you know, a guy coming on someone's face, is innately violent or malicious, like some people tend to think. To her, it isn't, and that's what matters in this case. She also kind of inverts that concept and goes on to talk more about it. Like, for example, what if to her the sexual appeal is that it was degrading, or she had an understanding of it. It was like a perceived degradation about it that was then sexy to her. What about if that turns her on? The concept, if she feels like it's kind of degrading but only enough to turn her on, what about that? Do it anyway. She's saying, so what? If it turns you on, do it. Even if it is perceived degradation or all these things, it doesn't mean that I'm actually being degraded if I'm sort of role-playing in my mind that I am being perceived as being degraded. Maybe that turns her on, which I thought was a really interesting thing to point out, because it goes back to make the decision that's right for you and your body and your partner. She talks about how she took some women's studies classes in school. She was a women's studies minor. And when she was in a class, I thought this was really an impressive statement. One of her professors, one of a really esteemed professor that she worked with, was telling someone, this is what she says. She says, an esteemed professor there once told a story that went something like this. My mother once told me that she honestly likes to vacuum. I explained to her that she thinks she likes to vacuum, but it's only because she's been trained to like vacuuming. So that was what her quote about what that professor said. And she goes on to say, even at the time, I found the story dismissive, although I couldn't have articulated why. Now I know why. It underestimates women. It assumes that we are too ignorant or too unintelligent to recognize the context in which our lives take place. So to her, she was bothered by that story because she's thinking, your mother has the right to decide if she likes vacuuming. And even if she's been groomed by a sexist society or the patriarchy or any of these things to feel that way, if she can really reflect on how she feels and she really honestly likes vacuuming, then she should honestly like vacuuming. If she feels that way, continue to feel that way. And she kind of cracks a joke and she says, maybe part of the reason I like facials is because I was groomed by a sexist society to enjoy being objectified. But she says that we can recognize the influences on what we like. For example, maybe that's part of the reason why she likes it. But she can still like it. It doesn't have to change her opinion about it. She says that the answer isn't for us to just stop doing what a sexist society or men, quote unquote, whatever, want us to do. If we like doing it, continue doing it, which means keep vacuuming or keep liking anal sex or keep buying shoes or keep having lots of babies, she says. So it's literally the message of this article that I really loved was do what makes you happy, sexually and otherwise. It isn't about making a statement unless you feel strongly about something and you want to stand up for it. But just changing your thoughts and opinions about something that is just coming from you, what you like, you shouldn't be doing that. That wouldn't be a good idea. It isn't true to who you are. And especially if you've reflected on who you are and you feel comfortable with it, then stick with it because that's just who you're supposed to be. Another thing that she says that I really liked, and I'm going to quote this too, is she says, and we can be trusted to make those choices about what we want in our life. Because after degrading, the number one phrase I kept coming upon in my Googling on the topic was this. Some women say they really like this, but I don't believe them. And discounting women's stories, just flat out rejecting them when they don't fit your political narrative is something I will never, ever get behind. Which is a really great thing to say because some people might kind of respond to their feelings of a facial, for example, or something else and go, ew, that's gross, or I don't want to do that, or that feels degrading to me, and just assuming that all other women or all over other anyone is going to agree with them, and that if they don't agree, oh, they're just not aware of what they really want. No, give them a chance, respect their opinion, respect their ability to make choices for themselves. They have agency, they're able to do those things. You can be trusted to make choices, as she says. And she finishes the article with a hilarious, hilarious joke at the end. This is one reason why I loved it. So she talks about all this stuff and about why she likes facials, why it's not degrading, and then she says, one final word while we're on the topic. Everything I've said here about facials goes out the window the first time you hit me in the eye with your cum. That shit burns for the rest of the day. Which is just so funny because she's talking all about why she loves it, and then she's saying, but wait a minute, there's a couple reasons why, like, I might get mad at you, you know, and it's kind of a joke, I think, too. But, I think the way she has written it is really funny. So there's going to be a link to this article. You should totally read it. It's really funny. It's entertaining. And it makes so many good points, as I pointed out. I'm going to put a link to this inside the body of this post, but make sure you check it out. And then use the kind of idea that she kind of brought up about, you know, something that most people don't talk about openly, or it's considered a little bit, oh, taboo to discuss or even to do. Think about if there's any of those in your life and what that means to you. Does it make you feel like, does this article make you think, hey, I'm allowed to do what I want to do. I shouldn't feel like it's so taboo. And if I'm not even going to talk about it with people, which is fine, then at least I'm personally not going to be ashamed by it. Because I think that's one thing her article does, is it really strives to take away feeling ashamed for things that you do that are made with consenting adults in private spaces. There shouldn't be a shame. You make a decision and it makes you happy. It makes both of you happy, or just you if you're by yourself, and do it. It's not about other people. It's not about what other people think. It's about what fits in your life and makes you feel happy and whole. Thanks, as always, for listening. Love talking with you guys. Check out the Facebook page, A Woman Podcast. Check out the website, awomanpodcast.com. And if you've missed past episodes, go to episode archives and you'll find all the other 90 episodes I've done. So you'll be able to catch up on some of those topics that you might have missed. Thanks so much for listening. And as always, I'll talk to you next time. All right, bye.